Excerpt from interview.
Well, welcome back to my world here on the Q, 92.9 FM. Mike Rouse in with you as always, joining us today in this political season from the state auditor, Wayne Johnson. Welcome to my world.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It's good to be in your world.
Well, we'll see. we like it.
Well, good, good.
Well, you are the state auditor, and before we get into a lot about you, I think a lot of people don't really understand what the state auditor does and what they can do. So why not give us a little overview from 30,000 feet?
Well, from 30,000 feet, it's very interesting because I have a media background.
Yeah.
And one of the things you do in the news business is you go and you see what's going on. You hold people accountable. You mm-hmm. you take a look at how they're operating. Well, that's the same job that you do as an auditor.
Okay.
The big difference between what the media does and what I do as state auditor is I have statutory authority and subpoena power. So
correct.
I can send people in an army of CPAs to take a look at what you're doing. I can look at your performance. Mm-hmm. I can look at your financials. And we can measure those results against what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And sometimes we find small things that need to be fixed that could lead to potential problem. So other times we find potential fraud. Right here in Silver City, found about $12,000 that was being siphoned out using credit cards. That's not a new story. It's not something unique to
right.
Silver City. It happens all around the state. One small mutual domestic, $700,000 was siphoned out using a credit card type of scam. And that happens oftentimes when you just lack internal controls, when you've got the same person doing reconciliation and approvals on credit cards that has a credit card.
Right.
So it's leaving the fox in charge of the hen house. We identify those situations. We try and do that prior to somebody actually
before
deciding
they
stick their hand.
000.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, before they get to 12, too,
12,
before they even get their hand in the till in the first place.
Okay.
We try and keep people, you know, honest people honest, and that's part of what we do. But we have over 1,000 different agencies statewide that mm-hmm. we're responsible for. Basically, if you receive state money to operate, then you're under my purview under the state auditor's office.
That's a big job.
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
But you've got a background in this.
Yeah, I've got a background in public policy.
Right.
I was an elected official in Bernalillo County mm-hmm. up until last month. Bernalillo County Commissioner there for 7 years. I got into government because I wasn't happy with the way my dollars were being spent. Mm-hmm. being spent. And basically, even more than that, I was upset about petty corruption.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes from things like somebody being able to put their hand in the till for $12,000. It comes in different forms, an abuse of power. Those are the things that we look for at the state auditor's office. Waste, fraud, and abuse, we talk about it all the time. It's in the audit rule. But that's our mandate from the public to go out and take a look at what's going on in those governments and stop it where we can. We are not the enforcement body. We are the reporting body. In that way, we're very much like the media again. We report out what's going on. We report this information to policymakers, and when it becomes criminal, to law enforcement.
And they're the ones that have to take it and go.
They're the ones that have to go build a case and prosecute it and make sure that people that are doing the wrong thing in their job and abusing the public trust pay the I almost said ultimate price.
No,
pay the price for their actions.
Suffer the consequences.
Yeah, yeah. That is rarely that we find something that would involve the ultimate price, but it's certainly saving $700,000 on a small mutual domestic. That's a big deal for
a
lot of
deal.
People who depend on water, not just for their livelihood, but for their lives.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background outside of the politics and. Tell us about your family.
Tom, my family, I just have a wife and we have a cat together and she's
darn.
A small businesswoman and a real estate broker, been there for over 30 years and I married her when she was 12. So it was, don't tell anybody that either.
I'm getting Arkansas,
no,
folks.
No, that's right now. That's a joke. Okay. So I hope you're laughing wherever you are right now.
Yeah.
She's a very sharp businesswoman and been very successful. She's a real estate commissioner. Does work on the public side there. I owned a small business for many years and still own it, although it's not active now that I'm a state auditor. But in the media business, I did a lot of documentary work and commercial work and did some radio spots for different clients around the state and around the country. Did that for many, many years. And while I was a Bernalillo County Commissioner, I was doing some of that as well. But that kind of got put to the side once I started working in government. And the reason being, if you're going to do it right, you got to put your time where your heart is. And I've been working very hard to clean up government in Bernalillo County.
It's definitely hard to do two things.
Excerpt from interview.
Well, welcome back to my world here on the Q, 92.9 FM. Mike Rouse rejoining you, and as promised, Congressman Steve Pierce, soon to be, we hope, Governor.
All right, thank you.
Welcome to the show again.
I'm absolutely glad to be here. Drove in last night. We're supposed to fly, and just we had rain.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal.
Did you bring it back from Washington?
I wish I could claim that, but no, it's been dry throughout New Mexico, east to west, north to south. And so I noticed early last week we got rain in Albuquerque. Two or three days ago, they posted on our Facebook page the rain in Ruidoso, and so now it's good to get it. It was all the way from El Paso to here. So Las Cruces getting very nice, steady rains. All getting good rain. So it's a breath of fresh air.
Farmers and ranchers are happy, as are the foresters, right. I know. So let's get down to some of the serious stuff. And, of course, tax reform was enacted. Not everything that I think a lot of conservatives wanted, but it's been a good thing.
It's been a good thing. It was designed really for three different things. Number one, bring manufacturing back. That was the corporate tax cut. And we started seeing Daimler or Chrysler move a plant back from Mexico to here. When we bring manufacturing back, that's when prosperity comes back to the U.S. The second thing we wanted, people on the streets to get money back. Already people are coming up to me in the streets, at the restaurant, saying, hey, my check's $50 bigger, my check's $100 bigger, I'm getting $200 a month with my two checks. Now, that goes a long way in most families. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of bonuses being given. So that was the second thing we wanted to happen. Also doubling the child tax credit, so the people at the bottom end of the economic spectrum won't pay taxes at all in most cases. Mm-hmm. So just worked out very well. The third thing, small businesses, that's the heartbeat of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Now, we lowered their rates down to around 21%, so you're just going to have money coming back to the small businesses. But probably the biggest thing we did, if you invest in your business, you can write it off 100% in the first year. That's a huge thing.
That's huge.
I was up in Gallup, and one of the restaurant owners said he just bought a $22,000 ice cream machine. So instead of paying $22,000 in taxes, he pays that money to invest into his business. I'm just telling you, we're going to see a lot of businesses get a lot stronger here in New Mexico, and we're desperately needing that.
Well, Congressman, I'm confused because I've heard from the other side of the aisle that people like myself, the people you're talking to on the street, we didn't get a tax cut.
Yeah, 80% of the people believe they weren't going to see anything. So that's the reason the polls are changing dramatically, because the Democrats actually had convinced almost everyone that they wouldn't see anything. Now they're seeing their checks bigger, and they know it's enough to pay part of the rent, maybe send a kid to the doctor, whatever. So I think that we're going to see really positive gains, and people vote with their pocketbooks. So the polls are reflecting that that Republicans were down 15 points or something nationwide. Now we're ahead. So it's a big change.
It is a big change. Let's move on now to the debate that was going on this last week. No immigration bill was passed, and especially here in New Mexico, the Dreamers, the DACA Act. Let's talk a little bit about what you want to do with that.
I've been in Congress 13 years, and we have never taken up the issue at all. Even when the Democrats owned the Senate, we couldn't filibuster. They refused to take up the issue. They know that it's lightning rod hot, but we have taken it up. Didn't get anything through the Senate, but that's frankly because the Democrats in the Senate keep changing the goalposts. Chuck Schumer says he knows the president will sign a DACA bill. Now they're moving it to where it's amnesty for all 17 million people. That's never what the president said. In the House, when we get back, we're out here for the next week and then head back into D.C., and we're going to take up the DACA bill because there really is a commitment on the side of the Republicans to start unthreading the problems. This is a Gordian knot of problems that exists on immigration. Let's fix one little piece at a time, and I think we're going to get it done. Now, the question is, are the Dreamers going to let it happen? They began to change the goalposts, too. Early in the debate, we needed a solution for us. Now we need a solution for everybody else, and that's not where we're going to go. I can just tell you the votes are not in the House or the Senate. People can complain all they want. They can demonstrate in the streets. But at the end of the day, you got to have 50% plus one in both the House and the Senate. And that's a very hard thing because the American people are much divided on this. I would think that I've got a bill in that does not give citizenship, but also doesn't kick Dreamers out. Simply gives them permanent status until they can get their paperwork done. That way, it addresses the concerns that we're sending the wrong message by giving amnesty, but it also addresses the concern of the Dreamers that they face deportation.
Excerpt from interview.
Well, good morning and welcome back to My World here on the Q92.9 FM. As always, Mike Rouse in with you. And as I promised earlier in the show, we're being joined by candidate for Congress. I always wonder about the mental stability of anybody that wants to go to Washington, D.C. But given the recent atmosphere, Monty Newman has decided he wants to go and make a change. And I think it's a good one. Monty, welcome to My World.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I'm really glad to be with you today. There are other people that wonder why I want to do this.
No, but it is good that we have people like you, and I, of course, have looked up on your bio and stuff, and I think people do kind of know you from, we do pay attention to what goes on in the eastern side of the state, but you are from the Clovis-Hobbs area?
I am.
You are native?
Yeah, I grew up in Clovis, graduated Clovis High School in 1973, and then Vicki and I moved our young family to Hobbs in 1978, so this month, as a matter of fact, we're celebrating 40 years there.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
And you were a businessman in Hobbs?
I am. Been in the real estate industry for 40 years, and so I know what it's like to write a check, hire people. I know what it's like to borrow money at the bank when you're not bringing enough in, and know what it's like to pay your employees before you pay yourself. So I've lived all those experiences. And having lived in Hobbs, people remember the collapse of the oil and gas industry starting in 1982.
Yep.
Working its way through. We lived through all of that too, so I understand the difficulties that come along with an economy that may be faltering a little bit.
But unlike what a lot of people say, someone who is successful does run their own business, you've given back to your community in a lot of ways.
I've been fortunate to do that, and my industry allowed me to do that. I was out at the New Mexico Junior College Board for 9 years, was chairman there for 7, a city commissioner for a couple of years, but more importantly, I was the mayor of the city from 04 to 08. And this is where we talk about family. Vicki made me promise that I would only do it for one term. And so that was the deal that we cut in order to allow me to run.
Yeah.
And served there for 4 years and enjoyed every minute of it and think we did a lot of great work.
You've also served in the Realtors Association throughout the state?
I have. I've been president of the Realtors Association of New Mexico. Did that in 95. Mm-hmm. And then had the pleasure in 05 and 07 of serving two presidents for the National Association of Realtors. We oversaw about 1.3 million members, 50 states and all the territories. And my job was to oversee the government affairs operations. And I did that at the same time I was mayor. And to be honest about the only way that could even happen was this little thing called a BlackBerry.
Yeah. So what prompted you to throw your hat into this ring and want to go to Washington and fight that battle?
Well, as I tell you, when you look at Congressman Pierce and Congressman Joe Skeen that represented this district well for so many years, I don't want us to lose that kind of voice in Washington. There are three things that really kind of define me in the way that I look at the country and legislation. First one actually being liberty. Every time you pass a law, every time you do an ordinance, every time you do a rule or reg, It will affect somebody's liberty, if not all of ours, at some level. That has to be first and foremost in our mind as we look at legislation as people's individual liberty. It's important to me. Number two is I think Americans need to really be more accountable, and I think we need to be responsible for our actions. I don't see a real good reason to run to the government for everything that's a problem. Yeah. The next thing is people like you and others that go out, take a risk, put their families at risk to start a business, Hire some folks, and try to make a go of it. This country allows you to do that. It allows you to fail.
Yep.
It allows you to succeed. But more than anything else, if you do fail, it allows you to come back. And I'm one that believes that you need to set your own course. You need to set your own destiny. And this country gives you that opportunity to basically to pursue and follow that dream. I don't want to give that up. A lot of people in the country do.
You know, and I think you're exactly right. One of the things that I think President Trump has accomplished more than anything is the cutting of regulations. But we have talked on this show, and I'm sure you believe the same principle. More power should be in the local government than the state government than the federal. Because as a mayor, you probably know more people can get access to you than those people in Congress in Washington, D.C.
Everybody that lives in Hobbs, New Mexico had access to the mayor's office.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Mike, from the standpoint, I don't think the founding fathers ever intended for the federal government to dominate the 50 states and dominate your local communities and your education system like it does today.
Mm-hmm.
In my way of thinking, it's inverted.
Yep.
And one of the reasons it's inverted is because maybe we haven't done such a good job taking care of our local communities. Maybe we haven't taken such good care of making sure our state is independent and fiscally and financially in good shape. And then if we do those things right, I think you'll see less power at the federal government because the government will always take more.
Right.
But it can only take what we're willing to give it.